You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, you know it. We're back. NCAA Tournament edition of BetQLU. Of course, the opening round edition of BetQLU. We're here with you every single week talking college basketball, college football. And this is our time to shine, RJ Choppy. This is it. We've finally reached it. I'm John Martin, as always, joined every week by the great RJ Choppy. And the games are underway. We have several double-digit seeds advancing, including 14-seeded Oakland. And we'll talk about Saturday's games and preview some of those. But before we do that, it is the upset of the tournament, RJ, no question about it. Kentucky goes down once again. So two out of the last 3 years suffer a humiliating loss in the first round of the NCAA tournament. A couple years ago with St. Peter's, now is Oakland. And Cal says, I'm adjusting everything, but is it too late for that? Should it be too late for Cal to have a chance to adjust, given the fact that they haven't been to a Final Four since 2015, RJ?
It's a long time, man. It's a long time for him not to go to a Final Four. Not even for him, more for the school. It's a long time for Kentucky not to go to the Final Four. Here's the thought, though. This is the final year, right, of the COVID years. So I wonder how much of Cal's style and philosophy of just getting blue blood kids at 18 years old, playing them for 1 year, letting them go to the NBA, is, you know, he runs into a couple of teams that are got, you know, 24, 25-year-olds. Dude, Jack Gaulke, he looks like he's 30. He looks like he's got a day job. He has a day job working as a, you know, he's a manager. He's a manager somewhere, middle management, and that's great Widow's Peak. I mean, I'm actually kind of jealous of that Widow's Peak. I mean, that is, we are on the Herman Munster level of Widow's Peak on the Gaulke. But, you know, you run, your 18-year-old kids, you're running to 25-year-olds. That ain't going to work. That's not going to work. I mean, they come up and get you. And the tournament's a crapshoot anyway. So I'm thinking to myself, like, all right, should we, like, look at the last 3, 4, 5 years, because they've all been COVID years for the most part, and kind of like, all right, just think of it as a reprieve and, like, just give him a do-over on that, or is this something part of something bigger? Because he's never been a great X's and O's coach. Never.
Right.
Not at Memphis, not at UMass, not with the Nets, and not at Kentucky. He's not an X's and O's guy. He's a recruiter. And he's always going to get you great players. If the great players don't play, what are you going to do?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's unfathomable for me and to me to think that with the start he had, which was at 1.4 out of 5 Final Fours in a stretch, right? He had made 4 out of 5 Final Fours. He had won a national championship. The idea that we would be looking up from the span of 2016 to 2024 and there would be no Final Four appearances for Kentucky and very few real second weekend type of runs. I think it's been since 2019 since they made a second weekend. I would have said, you know, no chance, no way. Clearly, the formula for what is successful in college basketball has changed on a dime. And look, I mean, Cal has always been a master of getting the talented one and done. That doesn't just have to mean a freshman. It can mean Dalton Connect, right? Dalton Connect's a one and done. Why can't Cal get guys like him? You know, he's been great with the aspiring NBA guards, but it feels like he just hasn't done a good enough job with the college transfer. I mean, he's had a couple. I mean, Reeves is probably his best success story. You know, Trey Mitchell been hurt all season, you know, has not really made the impact that I think most people hoped. So I think that's the thing is, like, can Cal be successful with that? And I think he's topped out. I think whatever Kentucky was going to be under John Calipari, he's already done it, and it's not getting back. The only problem is they don't. It's hard to pay a buyout of $33 million when the successor isn't obvious. And RJ, I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
When Memphis fired Tubby Smith after two seasons, and I'm just using this as an example because I was in the middle of it, they knew exactly who they were going to hire. They knew. They knew that they were hiring Penny Hardaway in their backyard. So they were happy to pay the $12 million buyout because they knew what they were going to do. But it's hard to come up with that money and then do a real search because you what am I paying $33 million to wind up with? You know, that's the question. That's probably why Cal will keep a job.
See, yeah, and I agree with that. But, you know, this is Kentucky. Like, you don't say no to Kentucky. The only people who say no to Kentucky are coaching at Duke, Kansas, North Carolina, UConn, and that's it.
Well, everyone else says yes, right? So who's that leave, though? You know what I mean? Like, who does that leave in terms of people you would fire Cal to hire? You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, and that's you. To me, I would have to get Dan Hurley. I would have to convince him to leave UConn. I do think Kentucky, I mean, you know, UConn has joined the Blue Bloods, but it's not Kentucky. At the end of the day, it's still a Johnny come lately. Like, Kentucky is on the level of, it's on the Mount Rushmore of Blue Bloods.
For sure.
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know who it leaves. Does it leave Brad Underwood at Illinois, who I think is a really good coach? Yep. You know, who is the guy? Who takes over?
That's a tough sell. I mean, Brad Underwood, you know, stylistically, he's not bringing that charisma. He's not bringing the
– no.
But maybe it's – you know, for me, and I don't know if he probably would not do it. I think there's probably way more reasons not to do it than to do it. But Kelvin Sampson would be probably first on my list. But he probably's not leaving Houston at this point. You know, he can just stay in the Big 12, win the Big 12, and then hand the job off to his son when he's ready to retire.
Right. No, for sure. Or you know – no, they don't want a successor. They're not naming a successor right now. I don't know that. Yeah, I don't think they're going to make a move. It's such a good job. And he does a good job too. You know, because you lose in a one and done. And this is why, like, I don't advocate for coaching changes in the NFL very often, or college hoops. I mean, a one and done, like, anything can happen. And football is a little bit different, right? You know, you get the better quarterback or you get some turnovers and all of a sudden the game gets out of hand. You know, listen, was it Coach Cal's fault that Reed Shepard looked like the moment was too big for him? Is that Cal's fault?
Oh, wow.
Like, Reed, you saw when he made his first basket in the second half and you saw the sigh. I mean, he exhaled. That ain't on the coach, man. That, to me, that's not on the coach. That's on the player.
Right.
I can't get mad at Cal for that.
No, I just think it's, you know, in a vacuum, one play, one game specifically, no. But it's just the entire body of work, right? It's the entire body of work over the last 8 years that goes back to Cal, you know, because ultimately you pick the players. You know, you're responsible for putting them in positions to succeed as the head coach. And if you don't like the formula, this or that doesn't, you pick. You are still, the buck stops with you as the head coach. And that's, you know, it's not like an NBA head coach where a general manager and a team president is building his roster for the most part. There are exceptions. But, you know, in college, you're in charge of everything top to bottom, who your assistants are, who your players are, when you practice, how you practice, everything. It's your universe. So you have to take the fall. And the other side of it is when it goes well, as you know, RJ, you get all the love. I mean, that's the way it works in college. It's kind of thankless to be a player in college basketball, you know?
Yeah, it really is. Because, I mean, if I was Cal, like my defense for – if I was Coach Cal right now and the AD's talking to me, and he's like, you picked the players. And I'm like, yeah, man, I picked probably two top five draft picks. The NBA thinks these guys are really good. They just had a bad day. They had a bad – or one of them had a bad day. Like, you know, that's what I would say if I was Coach Cal. You know, because he did really – like, that's a good team. That's a really good team. Yeah. And he assembled a good team. He assembled a young team. And, I mean, when your three best players are all freshmen, this can happen. You can run into a team of 25-year-olds, and there is – make no mistake about it, whether people want to admit it or not, there is a massive difference between an 18-year-old man and a 25-year-old man. Like, there is – I mean, they might not even – they might as well not even be the same species. That's how different they are.
Agreed, totally. All right, a couple of games looking ahead to Saturday. We'll do this throughout the show here. Let's start with 7-seeded Dayton, which was, I mean, dead to rights against Nevada. They were down 19 with 7 minutes left. They end the game on a 24-4 run, and they get their first tournament win since 2015. That, in a nutshell, was March and the insanity of March. But they are taking on number 2-seeded Arizona, which, depending on the number, depending on which number you had, they either covered or did not. So, you know, it depends on the number, but you're either super happy with Arizona or super angry. Either way, Dayton is a 9.5-point underdog. Can they keep the party going, RJ, and keep this close against an Arizona team that has some very random, dumb losses, or do you think Arizona squashes here?
I think that's the key there. Random. They've got some really random, dumb losses, and that's scary. That should scare any Arizona fan. There's a few teams that should be scared of their team's performances and their through the regular season. And I think Arizona's one of them. You know, what Caleb are you getting? Are you getting good Caleb or are you getting Caleb that may turn the ball over? And that's a big problem. That's a big question to ask. I don't think – I wouldn't touch the spread. This is too much. 9.5 is a lot. I know Arizona looked really good on Thursday, but I don't know that I could touch the spread here. That's a lot. It's a full 10-point spread almost, 9.5. That's a lot. I mean, more apt to take the under. That's a big number.
Yeah.
172 is a big number.
Zach points out, started so early, 10:45 their time out there in Salt Lake. I mean, that doesn't feel like a recipe
that's conducive to a bunch of
sport. I have no idea. I don't know.
Did you notice, like, the Charlotte bracket's got, like, a 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock Eastern time game, and this game's starting at 10:45 in the morning. Why don't you flip them? Exactly. But the Charlotte team played 1 o'clock.
I have no earthly idea. But, you know, they don't ever think about this kind of stuff. And as Zach points out, they want Gonzaga and Kansas in a standalone window. So that makes sense. Speaking of which, go right to Gonzaga taking on Kansas. Gonzaga, the 5-seed, not often you're going to see this, favored by 4.5 over the 4-seeded Kansas Jayhawks. Kansas gets a huge break over Stanford with a very clean block that was called a foul, changed the entire game. Gonzaga rolled everybody's darling in McNeese State, and now they're going to get a very undermanned Kansas team with no Kevin McCullough. With that being said, is 4.5 too many against Bill Self?
You mean Mr. February? You know, if Bill Self, he gets all the love, man. Everybody loves Bill Self. I mean, he had one run. I don't even count the Memphis game. That was a travesty to basketball that they were allowed to foul. They did the old hack a shack for the last 10 minutes of that game. So he's had one good run. I mean, he's a coach. He's a choking coach. He's Rick Barnes with a title. That's what he is. Rick Barnes with the championship or two. Look, I can't answer this question because I had both teams losing in the first round. I had McNeese and Stanford. So I am the wrong person to ask about this game. But if you had to give me one, I would take Gonzaga. It's hard when you lose your best player. It just is. When you eventually run into a team that's got full strength, it's hard when you lose your best player.
Yeah. No, it is, and I agree. I mean, it's a little higher than I wanted to pay. I was hoping to get closer to two. But they know what's up. They know what's up here. Mm-hmm. It's too thin for Kansas. I have them going out here. I'll see where the number goes. If it gets to five or six with DeJuan Harris and Hunter Dickinson, I think there might be a chance I could come in at Kansas. But the only way I could look right now is Gonzaga at this number. And they're playing really, really good basketball. And they're healthier. And that's a big thing when you get to, you know, months like this. So, yeah, I think that's the way I would have to look right now. All right, hey, lots more games to get to. Michigan State, North Carolina, Washington State, Iowa State, Oakland, NC State, Texas, Tennessee. We're going to get your thoughts on your Vols. Duquesne, Illinois, Oregon, Creighton. Lots more to come here on BetQLU. Finally, we have made it. We have made it to the first weekend of the NCAA tournament after everything. And it is delivering, as it always does. Nothing but chaos. I'm John Martin. He's RJ Choppy. We'll be back right here on BetQLU after this. Yeah, welcome back. BetQLU. I'm John Martin. He's RJ Choppy. We are breaking down Saturday's games here on the show of the second round. We're already in round, man. It goes quick, doesn't it, RJ? Second round of the NCAA tournament. So picking up where we left off, 4:30 Central Time, 5:30 Eastern. Number one seeded North Carolina takes on number nine seeded Michigan State. North Carolina, a 3.5 point favorite over at BetMGM. As we know, Michigan State took Mississippi State back to the woodshed, said, "Have you forgotten who I am? I am Tom Izzo." And this is his 20th career opening round tournament victory. I believe the stat was no one in the history of college basketball, either in the history or active, I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure it's history, has won as a higher ranked seed in a game than Tom Izzo. With that being said, RJ, does the party continue with Sparty, or can North Carolina, Armando Bacot, and RJ Davis put an end to it?
I don't think picking Michigan State here is a smart idea. I'm stunned at the number. Stunned. The number's 3.5. Really? This blows me away. I looked at some of the other lines. There are other lines in this same weekend that are double this, and this one seems like way more of a blowout. And I don't think this game's going to be a blowout to begin with, but this seems like a much bigger margin of victory than some of the other ones. I don't understand how this is only a 3.5 point spread. I would be all over Carolina, and I will be all over Carolina 3.5. The fact that it hasn't moved to 5 or 6 by now stuns me and makes me wonder what the sharps are doing with their money. Am I missing something here?
I think you probably have you have some narratives at play, which is that Michigan State was a preseason team that, you know, they're probably looking more like that, and you don't want to forget that in these settings. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm in a pretzel over it. I mean, I could see Michigan State winning this game. I mean, we've seen that Tom Izzo do it before. I can see it, man. I mean, they got guards, and they're feeling good now. And yeah. I've been sour all year long. I've been out on them all year long, but you know, the reality is that they're here now. And when that happens, it can be dangerous when you have a team that, you know, starting to believe. So I don't have a great feel on it, honestly. Like, I'm also not super. I think another reason here is I'm not super high on Carolina. I think Carolina is really top heavy, and you get past the top two, and there are a lot of questions, right? Like, am I going to be able to count on Harrison Ingram every night? Am I going to be able to count on Cormac Ryan making his shots? I mean, at home, yeah. You know, at a neutral site, that's the thing about the NCAA tournament. It's equalized, bro. It's equalized. Everybody's on a neutral. Everybody's on weird rims, you know, and that's where it gets a little tough.
So, because, like, if you look at the other spreads, like, in order to believe that, and I don't disagree, but I'm saying, like, you think Creighton is a better, you know, more of a lock to beat Oregon or Gonzaga over Kansas or Tennessee over Texas than Carolina over Michigan State? I don't know. It's hard for me to jive with that. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, because, again, we saw this Michigan State team just kind of waddle through Big Ten play. But, yeah, you know, it's so. And I know that's like the most cliche thing you could say, but they do have, you know, really good players, and they were projected a preseason top five team. So I think you have to kind of keep that in mind when you're going through the handicap here. Is I don't want to go too crazy, even if they under, you know, because is it a situation like, and I'll bring up an NFL example, but is it a situation like the Chiefs, who throughout the regular season, you know, I mean, really underwhelming, right? I mean, they lost to the Raiders at home on Christmas. Like, there were times where we were like, there's no prayer that this team with these receivers can ever get to the Super Bowl. And then playoffs start, and we see another level, right? We see another level of Andy Reid. We see another level of Patrick Mahomes. And I'm just wondering, was that the approach with Michigan State? That's why I think there is a little bit of vibe here on them, you know, and we'll see where it goes from here. But I think that would be my argument, at least.
Yeah, I can't kill it. I mean, I agree with it. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I'm surprised. I think my reaction is more that of surprise than anything else. Like, when I first saw this, when I first thought of this line, I was like, okay, this is going to be 7.5, 8.5, 9.5. You know, to get it there, 3.5, I think 4 at certain places. I think I was just taken by surprise a little bit.
Yeah, no question. And we'll see. It'll be a great game to sit back and watch. All right, let's go to Omaha in the East region. Number 2 seed Iowa State taking on Washington State. Drake just with a complete meltdown last night. Despite being up 8, Washington State comes all the way back and gets the job done against Drake. So heartbreak for those guys once again. And now they get an Iowa State team that is the Big 12 champs. That covered in their first game. Iowa State -7.5. Washington State got their first tournament win since 2008. RJ, are they just happy to be here at this point, or can they push this Iowa State team?
They're not just happy to be here. They could play. I think Iowa State's just too good. I think it's one of those games that's probably about a 3 to 5 point game for most of the time, and then Iowa State ends up, you know, winning this thing by 9. You know, it's going to be in one of those games. It's within the margin of error, so I may stay away from it as a whole. Mm-hmm. But if I had to pick down one of them, I would take Iowa State. They're too good.
Yeah,
look, they're a good team.
Iowa State got absolutely jobbed by being put in the same region as UConn. And I'm a soapbox here a little bit, but if I was a team like Iowa State, like Houston, like UConn. Well, I won't use a Big East example because they care in a way that other schools don't, but or other conferences don't. But if I'm a school that's firmly in, I'm a 1 or 2 or even maybe a 3, I'm not playing any starters in my conference tournament. I'm not doing it. I'm going to let the backups play.
Really?
Because what the committee showed everybody this year is that unless you steal a bid, they're not even paying attention to conference tournaments. Because if they were, okay,
right,
then Iowa State would be a 1, in my opinion. Iowa State would be a 1. And at the very least, they would not be in the same region as the top number 1. That team absolutely destroyed Houston in the title game. I mean, not just beat them, but destroyed them. Won 2 times over Houston this year. There ain't a school in the country that can say that. Houston, who was number 1 all year long for the most part, only 1 team beat them twice, and they're in the same region as UConn. So if I'm a legitimate school that's got their tournament fate sealed and I'm in, I might as well just get my guys some extra rest, 'cause I have nothing to gain. I have clearly nothing to gain from playing in these conference tournaments, because with a win, I wind up where I was going to be anyway.
Yeah, I think it depends on the situation. Like, you know, North Carolina got a 1 because of their conference tournament. Like, Tennessee was on the 1 line, and they got beat down pretty good their first game, and Carolina won a couple, and they get in as the 1. I like the way the committee does it. I value the regular season far more than a weekend on a neutral site. A lot of things can happen. I know it's more resemblance of the NCAA tournaments. You should take that into effect. But, you know, the conference championships, everybody keeps saying, oh, you know, UConn got screwed. They got four conference champs in their in their bracket. Well, no, they didn't. Auburn wasn't a conference champ. They won a conference tournament. Iowa State wasn't a conference champ. They won a conference tournament. I don't care how you are over three days. I care how you are over 3 months. So,
yeah.
It didn't bother me that I never felt like offended that Iowa State didn't get a one. I would have put Carolina ahead of them. I would have put Tennessee ahead of them. I would have put Arizona ahead of them. I mean, they proved it over the course of a season. Iowa State was never once discussed for a one seed. Not a single time over the last 6 months. You can't go from that to a one seed over 3 days. I don't jive with that. So I have no issue with where they were put.
I just think they should have not been in the same region as UConn. If you're going to put them as a two, don't put them in the same region as the number one overall. That's all I'm saying. If that's where you're going to be anyway.
Yeah. Nobody wanted that two. That's the most thankless two out there. The two against UConn, you shouldn't even show up.
No doubt about it. I mean, I don't know if it's like that, but it is a tough road to hoe. There's no doubt about it. All right. How about this matchup? I mean, the idea that we have this is just, quite frankly, unbelievable. But in a second-round matchup with the rights to a Sweet 16 appearance on the line, we have DJ Burns and the 11-seeded NC State Wolfpack versus the 14-seed Oakland Golden Grizzlies. Oakland wins their second ever NCAA tournament game. They were I saw the money line price everywhere from 575 to 700. I mean, it was all over the place. NC State, hottest team in America, and NC State is a 5.5-point favorite, RJ. Somebody's destiny, unfortunately, has to end. Whose will it be?
I think I like Oakland. I think I like Oakland here. I know NC State's red hot. And they now have more home wins. They have more wins in the place formerly known as the MCI Center in D.C. than the Washington Wizards do this year. I know they have more home wins than that. And they got it in a weekend. But I like Oakland. I think Oakland covers the spread here. I will take the golden whatever they are, the Golden Flashes or Eagles or whoever. Give me Oakland, which is not – at the Bay Area. It's not in California. It's in Michigan.
That's right.
Then win.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I did play the under on this one. I think this is probably going to be a tighter game and a less wide open game than the one Oakland played against Kentucky, because that's just the way they play. I think NC State is going to try to feed the big fella and really slow this down and pulverize with his size. And if they are successful in doing that, and Golkey doesn't have, 10 threes again, I think this is an under. Yep. I do hate that one of these teams has to lose. I truly do. But it also speaks to the absurdity of the sport, right? RJ, I mean, Kevin Keats was a guy who, if you just said, at the beginning of March, hey, he's a game away from a, double-digit seed from being in the Sweet 16, it's crazy. I mean, they were talking about his job. And now, again, you go to a Sweet 16, everybody's feeling good again. I mean, it's just – that's the beauty of this sport, is if you get in this thing and you get an invitation to this party, you can turn your whole career around in 1 year.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There's a saying on the PGA Tour, 4 days will change your life. 1 weekend will change your life. Same thing here.
Yeah.
If you're a coach at Oakland, if you're a coach at Wisconsin, Milwaukee, if you're at Southern Illinois, and you get a little bit, Andy Enfield at Florida Gulf Coast, Bruce Pearl when he was at Wisconsin, Milwaukee, there are countless. I mean, Dan Hurley himself did the same thing.
Yep.
Shaheen Holloway at St. Peter's. You go from mid-major coach to big-time Power 5 coach overnight.
Yep.
The 40 minutes will completely change your life here. And, you know, I mean, for Dan Monson, it did that for a week, you know, when he was at Long Beach State, when he won their conference tournament, the Big West. You know, it changed everything for him. It's a wild time of year. It's a great time of year, though.
Yes. It is the best. And it's why, you know, we love this tournament because it can make dreams. It can break dreams. We've already seen both sides of that, right? We saw Cal heartbreak hotel for him, and Oakland and NC State are going on, and one coach is going to re-galvanize his fan base and be extremely happy and probably be rewarded with either a better job or a new contract. That's the way it works. I don't make the rules. All right, lots more to come. We have a few more games that we need to touch on. We'll get to it's the UT off. It's the UT Bowl.
Yeah.
The Orange Bowl. Tennessee, Texas, Duquesne, Illinois, Oregon, Creighton. Get into those games and a whole lot more on the other side. You're watching BetQLU. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to BetQLU. I'm John Martin. He's RJ Choppy. The NCAA tournament is in full swing. We've talked about Kentucky obviously being an embarrassment. We've talked about Dayton, Arizona, Gonzaga, Kansas, Michigan State, North Carolina, Washington State, Iowa State, Oakland, NC State. So just working our way around Saturday's games. Let's get to one of the main events, no question about it. 7-seeded Texas, number 2-seed Tennessee. Tennessee looks absolutely amazing in their victory over, who is it, St. Peter's. There would be no repeat for St. Peter's this time. And Texas turned the water off on Colorado State, kind of flipped roles with Virginia. Colorado State played the role of Virginia here in this one. So Rick Barnes versus old school Tennessee -6.5. RJ, what do you think of this one, buddy?
So I was interested in how both of these teams played in the first round because, you know, at Colorado too, you know, it's a storyline that's not talked about is the basketball, where it's a different ball that a lot of teams use in the regular season that they use. They use the Wilson Evo. Texas is a Nike Elite ball. Colorado's a Nike Elite ball. Tennessee was a Nike Elite ball. And Colorado and Texas look like they'd never shot the ball before in their life. And, you know, like they look, that was an ugly, ugly basketball game. Tennessee shot the ball well, but they've had some of their worst shooting performances with that basketball. I was interested in those two games and how the shooting went. I got to be honest, I have a very tough time with this one. Texas could beat anybody in the country on any given night. But if they don't get a great game from Disu and Aspis, it's tough. It's tough, right? But if those two are on, they're tough to beat. Brock Cunningham is a pain in the butt. And if you get into a free throw shooting cut, this is the problem with Texas. If Texas is up 2 points with a minute to go, you better hit every three-pointer the rest of the way. They don't miss free throws down the stretch at all. Cunningham will make everything. He's like 90%. Aspis will make a lot of things too. This is a tricky game. I was a little bit surprised that this thing is – like, this spread is – this is a bigger spread than the Carolina-Michigan State. This is 6.5.
I think there's good reason. Good reason. I was on Texas -3. Felt fortunate to get that home. There was a time where Colorado State, despite being down just tremendously, I think they were down 16 at the half, there was a time where they had pulled it within 6. Texas is prone to big time droughts, man. And against a team like Tennessee, you have no room for that. I mean, Aspis struggled. Disu struggled yesterday. And again, Colorado State's the Mountain West. Mountain West getting packed up. Everybody from the Mountain West is just getting packed up and sent back to where they came from. So that to me is one you kind of get away with. But Tennessee, as we know, has been a different breed all season long. So I just think they're going to be really tough from a matchup perspective for Texas because you can't afford any kind of drought. They'll just Tennessee just keeps coming. So I know there's a reputation with Rick Barnes, and it's earned, but as we've talked about all season long, RJ, this Tennessee team is different. It is. And I like them here. I like them a lot. I think 6.5 is definitely the spot for Tennessee and making it involved. All right. Duquesne. How about the Duquesne Dukes taking on Illinois? 11-3 matchup here. Illinois, 9.5. I will tell you, I did play Illinois minus 10. I hope that doesn't make me a terrorist. I just kind of feel like Duquesne is happy. They won a game. You know, we see this with the emotions all the time. And Illinois, on the other hand, is a machine, and they are definitely not satisfied. So I did lay the 10, trying to get their first Sweet 16 since 2005, if you can believe it. Am I on the wrong side here, RJ, with Illinois minus 10?
No, man, they're a good team right now. And you could tell who follows college basketball versus who doesn't based on how they pronounce Duquesne. You got those Duquesne folks out there. You know they never followed college basketball for their lives. You know, right now.
If somebody pronounces Duquesne like that, I got bigger questions, but yes.
You know who does that? Mike McCarthy, the Cowboys head coach. That's how he says it. And he's from Pittsburgh. He's from Pittsburgh. Well,
is it a bit? It's a bit then. He does it as a bit.
It might be. It might be a bit. I don't know if it's a bit or not. I don't think it is. But I don't think you're on the wrong side of this one. I think it's a good number. It's a lot of points. It's a lot, but Illinois they are firing right now. They are absolutely firing. And if you were to tell me that they end up in Glendale, I ain't gonna be surprised. Not one bit. They are firing.
Yeah, I completely agree with the way they turned that on against Morehead State yesterday. I think, you know, that tells you all you need to know. There's a few teams that can do that. They're one of them. And when you can kind of turn it on like that, I think that puts you in pretty rare air. All right. And then the last one of the day, Oregon, which, I mean, just made South Carolina look really, really bad, are 5.5-point underdogs to Creighton, which also handled Akron. Dana Altman, 8-0 in the first round of the NCAA tournament. The guy, say what you want about him, he's kind of weird. He doesn't have any charisma at all, but he can coach basketball. Throwing lots of different defenses at South Carolina. You got to say it was a super impressive performance from him. This is a homecoming of sorts. Dana, we know, coached at Creighton for a long time. Creighton going for their first back-to-back Sweet 16 appearance in program history. Oregon trying to get there for the first time since 2019. Is 5.5 too many points here for Creighton?
It's quite a bit. It's weird, like, you know, because, you know, if Tennessee gets by Texas, you know, I'm a Tennessee guy, you know, they play the winner of this game, and I don't really know who I want to root for. I think I want to root for Oregon, but Oregon's kind of scares me too. They scare me as well. I mean, they're tough. You know, they made South Carolina look slow. They made South Carolina look slow in this game. You know, that doesn't have, you know, South Carolina's a very athletic team. I think Creighton's outside shooting is just too much. It's just too much. I think they're going to give fits here to Oregon. They may give fits to Tennessee. They may give fits to Purdue if they get there. Their outside shooting is really it, when it gets on, you ain't winning that game. You're going to have a night where you're in their face and they're missing in order to beat them. Yes. They're a tough team.
Yeah, look, I think Oregon took advantage of some things with South Carolina. I mean, South Carolina was never supposed to be in that spot. They were picked to finish last in the SEC. You know, I mean, they just weren't expected to have that. And it's a credit to Lamont Paris that they were even in that situation to start with. But they were not supposed to be there. And I think they took advantage of some things with the Gamecocks matchup. They didn't have a lot of size. You know, they played above their heads all year, and it kind of caught up to them. That's not what they're going to get with Creighton. You know, Creighton's got Kalkbrenner there in the middle who is not going to be able to – you're not going to be able to just body like he was bodying B.J. Mack, like Infali Dante was bodying B.J. Mack yesterday. It's a different animal there altogether. We know Baylor Shireman is one of the best scorers on the wing in the entire country, and they've got some pieces, Mason Miller, Stephen Ashworth, Trey Alexander, who can do it too. So I think Oregon may be able to keep this within 5.5. but I don't think they win. So it would be Creighton for me, probably, just at the end of the day, because I don't think they have enough to beat the Blue Jays outright. Do you have any futures as we get out of here? Do you have any future national title bets that you have pending, or did you abstain from that market altogether?
I abstained from that market. I had a team in it. As of now, I have a team in it still. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to go down that road. Did you get any?
Yeah, I it was a very scientific effort. My 3-year, we sat down, we do it every single year, and we filled out a bracket with words that she can say. And we lost a national champ, a national championship game team with the Broncos in Boise State, never had a chance.
Okay.
But our national champion Baylor is alive. So she said Bears. So we went with Baylor 40-1. We're alive. We're very much alive. I think Baylor has a real chance. I mean, North Carolina is not a one seed that scares me in any sense of the word. You know, I mean, if we can get lucky and somebody knocks off UConn, I think there's a path. I think there's a real path. I mean, Baylor earlier this week in their first round game against Colgate set a school record in 3-pointers. You know, that's the kind of stuff you need in March. You need shooting. They have it. So
you do.
I think that's where I'm at. That's what I'm sweating right now.
I mean, look, they're going to have – I mean, Baylor's going to have two players drafted in the top 15, 20 picks of the draft. When you have that, you've got a chance. You have a chance.
There's no doubt about it.
You've got to have you've got to have the best player on the floor a lot of times, and they have a chance to have two of them. So I don't hate it. I have Baylor. They're in my Final Four.
Yeah, there's just very few teams – outside of the top four lines that have random sort of NBA players scattered on there. And, you know, I know Baylor's one of them. You know, that's why I think college basketball this year is a little dead. There's not that number one overall surefire pick playing in it. You know, I think there was the hope that Bronny would be there for USC, but, you know, the heart condition and that team being a huge disappointment, you know, it never took off. So, you know, in terms of one of the few prospects that might get drafted in the top 10, Baylor has that in Jacoby Walter. So, and again, Scott Drew's a national championship coach. So I think anytime, you know, you have a chance to get that at 40-1 in a region where obviously I wouldn't have played that at that number if they were in the region as UConn. I would have needed probably 60-1 given the way they just squash teams. But North Carolina, you know, yeah, absolutely. We've seen North Carolina do some random things. Yep. I don't think they're bulletproof by any stretch of the imagination. So we'll sweat out Baylor. Obviously, the tournament's here in Memphis, so I'll have a chance to see him on Sunday against their opponent there. So it's a good chance to, you know, get up close and personal with the national championship future. There's no doubt about that. Hey, this has been quite the tournament already. You know, we'll see what happens with John Calipari. You know, is Kentucky just content? Or because they can't pay the $30+ million and they gave them the lifetime contract? Is it a situation where they don't know who they would hire and they can't bring themselves to come up with that? Don't know. But again, that question's already being asked as a result of the first day of the NCAA tournament. So maybe we don't have the shocker. Maybe we don't have the absolute stop, you know, that Fairleigh Dickinson of a year ago, RJ, but it's still been high drama early on in the NCAA tournament.
It has. It was a relatively dull opening session in terms of like the first half of yesterday of Thursday. And then it got, I mean, all hell broke loose in the evening. And maybe we have the same thing coming up. And it's been a great tournament. It really has. There's been some blowouts, but for the most part, game's been pretty good, even though some of the chalk has held. I love the fact that the 11s are just dominating the sixes for the most part, 3 out of 4.
Other than Clemson getting it done against New Mexico. Yes, I think that's 3-1. Hey, there you go. That's the beauty of March. It's going to do it for us for this edition of BetQLU. Hope everybody's enjoying the games. This is certainly the best of the year. Enjoy it. We'll be back next week for RJ Choppy. I'm John Martin. Appreciate you guys making us a small part of your week. We'll be back as part of BetQL Network, Odyssey Sports, wherever you get us. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. For RJ Choppy, I'm John Martin. See you next week.